But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened.
He is risen. Amen? All right, now I want you to say, when I say he is risen, I want you to say all the time, because he's been risen, amen? Amen. He is risen. He is risen. Woo, praise the Lord, amen. Hallelujah, man. Check this out. That was real history that we were just listening to right there. That was real history. That was a real event, all right? There were real people there, all right? That was a real place in time and history and geography or whatever. But you know what I'm talking about, right? That was the real deal, man. There was a real execution, right? And again, most importantly, there was a real Jesus who hung on a real cross, who was placed in a real tomb, and who really got up, amen, and is really Lord of all, amen? Woo, come on, man, I need to know you're here with me. Praise the Lord, amen. The most important question you can ask and answer in this life is, do you really believe that? All right, praise the Lord. Right, so we're not here right here to, there's a cute little man, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. All right, okay, I gotta know a name. Cadence? Hayden. What's up, Hayden? All right, sorry. Anyways, praise the Lord. Welcome to the church, amen? Hallelujah, all right? We're not here, all right, to try and make you believe things, all right? Because that would just be make-believe, amen? All right, but we are here to challenge what you think you believe or what you say you believe or what you really do believe. Amen. Because here's what I know, man. Your life, my life, our lives, all right, each of our individual lives are living proof of what we really believe. All right. Every one of us are living, okay, according to what we believe about life, what we believe about relationships, what we believe about this world and the direction it's heading. All right. You are living proof right now. You are living proof of what you believe about God. You are living, in other words, you are like actively living proof of what you believe about Jesus Christ. Your life in motion is living proof of what you believe about the presence of God, His Holy Spirit in this world, all right? Your whole worldview, man, how you express yourself in this world is based on that belief. Woo, got hot in here, man. Praise the Lord. All right, maybe it's just me. All right. Here's what I know, man. There was a time in every child's life when the cross and the resurrection were so approachable, so easily approachable. You don't have to talk a kid into believing in Jesus. Did you know that? You're not going to have to talk Hayden into believing in Jesus. All right. Kids just naturally lean into that story because it's in them. All right, but because somewhere along your journey, though, right, because somewhere along your journey in this life, the child you used to be began to be led away and led out of this belief and even out of this trust. And man, some of you, maybe all of us at one point followed that. that leadership away from Christ. And maybe today is that day you need to believe again, or at least challenge the belief. And I ask this because, you know what, man? Belief sometimes for so many people seems to follow the path of least resistance. Right? We tend to be very, you know, skeptical people, and we doubt so easily. And many times in our doubt, we're just looking for excuses. And what's even crazier, man, is sometimes Christians, right, or quote unquote Christians, all right, who are not the real deal, they seem to make it easier for people just to forget about this thing. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen, you know, people like claim to be Christians and like, what the, is that what it's all about? A cat named Brendan Manning. All right, I don't know if you ever heard of him. All right, he was working at Safeway. All right, just kidding. No, he's actually an old theologian dude. Some of you are like, really? I want to meet this guy. All right, this cat, Brendan Manning. All right, he once said, he said, the greatest cause of atheism today is Christians who profess Jesus with their mouth, but deny him with their lifestyle. Remember, you're living proof of what you believe. He says, that is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And a lot of you are saying, man, this is why I only come to church on Easter. All right? Because I walk into the place and it's just filled with hypocrites. I don't know that that is a very well thought out statement. It's like me going to the gym and going, you know what? I ain't working out here, man. There's half these people that are out of shape. You know what I mean? I walk into this gym, people are all squishy, walking around. I mean, I don't know if I want to be here. All right? And instead of thinking, well, maybe that's why it's there. All right? Maybe that's why it exists. All right? And maybe that's why the church exists. Right? I walk into the gym, and you know, sometimes I'll see people just cut up, just like knocking it out of the park, and I'll see people on the other side of the spectrum, and I'll be so glad they're there. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're working at it. I walk into the church, I see people just walking just tight with Christ, just on fire with Jesus. And I see other people, man, kind of, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. And you know what? Praise the Lord, man, I'm glad you're here. So if you're ever looking at the church and you're thinking, you know what? I don't want to go in there. There's too many hypocrites. We always have room for one more. So come on in. Praise the Lord. Every one of us can own that story. Amen. Here's what I know, man. When I was a kid, I had no problem believing in God. I had no problem believing in God. I had no problem believing in Jesus. I had no problem believing in the cross. I would go to church with my grandma, right, when I was a little tiny, first grader, right? I had a mustache. I was crazy, all right? I go to church with my grandma. And it was cool because I'd learn stuff. You had a little thing called Sunday school. I'd go check it all out. All right. But mostly the pastor had a daughter. Her name was Faith. She was a third grader, smoking hot. All right. You know, she would talk to me, so I felt pretty good because she was like an older woman. You know what I mean? I'd be like, what's up? You know? But anyways, I mean, when my grandma would talk to me about Jesus, I was all ears. And when my grandmother would tell me that Jesus loves me, that's Jesus right now. Watch, man, answer that, man. I said, what's up? You know what I mean? Yeah, check this out. When she would tell me that Jesus loves me, I believed it. I had no problem believing it. I had no problem believing that Jesus loves me. And as I grew older, different influences and different things started leading me away from that belief. And I chose not to allow that belief to control my thinking anymore. You see, I started coming to a point in my life sometimes where, you know what, I didn't love myself very much, so why would he love me? So literally, I was saying, my standards are a little higher than Jesus's. That's kind of, in essence, what I was saying, right? And how could that be true? And I didn't allow that belief to control my thinking. I knew God was real. It just wasn't that important anymore. You ever had that happen to you? Come on, be honest with yourself. All right? And I started to forget about God. Can you remember personally, each of you individually, can you remember when the story of Jesus Christ was fresh and brand new in your life? You remember that? You remember when, how exciting it was, man, how ready you were to believe in this risen Savior. He is risen. Where were you at on that one? All the time. He is risen. We need to practice. Come on, man. He is risen. One more time. He is risen. All right. All right. Because I knew he is risen. There we go. You're on it right on, man. Okay. All right. You remember how exciting it was, how ready you were to believe his story and make it your own story. Do you remember that? You know, God, he challenges us over and over in the scriptures to remember. If you look up the word remember, it is in the scriptures over 230 times. You will see the word remember. And then many more times, remind, remind. And so many times it's God challenging you to remember who he is, to remember what he said, to remember what he's done, to remember that he is Lord, to remember that you are not forgotten. You remember? When he was just so beautiful in your life. What will it take for you to believe like that again? To not only believe his story, but to keep it. See, the gospel really isn't that hard to believe. It really isn't that hard to receive. See, people want to believe the gospel because they want to know that their sins have been forgiven. The sins of their mind, the sins of their mouth, the sins of their actions, the sins of their heart. People want to know that their past does not have to control their future. The gospel is not that hard to believe. It is not that hard to receive because people want hope. People want to know that we are actually more than we've been told that we might be. We've been created for more than we've allowed ourselves to believe. And that this life is so much more than we've been told it is. And so we're joining this story, this real life historical story, right? And of the cross, of the Christ, the cross, the resurrection from the grave. See, our story really is just picking up. Your story and my story, all right? We've been given his story. And everything, check this out, everything that matters ultimately to your human existence hinges on what you do with this story. If you think that the story you're living right now, right this moment, right here, right now, man, if you're thinking that this story you're living right this second is the only story that matters, you're way off. And what is really crazy is deep inside you know it. Every human being knows it. The question is, which story will you apprehend in this life? Which story, man, will you live out? Which story will you pass on? Today, man, we want to challenge you to look at this story, all right, and see if you can really know, if you can truly know that it's yours. Amen. He is risen. All the time, every time, sure, yeah. Yeah, I want you to say it every time, but yeah, this is all the time, amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we praise you. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for helping us, letting us know this story, letting us know that we are right here with you, that we not only get to be with you, but you desire to be with us. That is an amazing thing. The creator of all things, Lord God, you are high and mighty. You are exalted above all things. You created everything, Lord God, that we know and even so much more that we don't. And yet you want to know each of us on purpose. Thank you so much, Lord God. Guide us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Luke chapter 24, it's crazy. We have been going through the book of Luke for about three months. All right, January, February, March. Okay, yeah, 3 months, all right? And it is so insane how we have been going through, you know, if you've been here, you've seen us, we've been going through just chunks of Luke all the way here. And we just so happened to land on this scripture today. It wasn't like, oh, we got to make this work. We just landed right here. It's like he knew what he was doing the whole time. It's kind of crazy. All right, so praise the Lord. So we're in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Check this out. And it says, but on the first day of the week, all right, which was Sunday at this time, all right, it said, at early dawn, all right, they, these women who have been with Jesus for a couple of years, all right, who've been kind of hanging out with the disciples and the whole crew, went to the tomb where Jesus was buried, taking the spices that they had prepared, all right, because it was tradition, basically. This is how they would roll, not tradition, this is the way that things went. When somebody was buried in a tomb, all right, if you had that kind of money, you'd be laid out on a slab, all right, and then you would be prepared to lay there for a year or maybe more, and they would let you just kind of, nature do what it does, and they'd come back, take your bones, put it in an ossuary, cut a hole in the side of the tomb, all right, and put you in there in a box. That's just kind of how it went, but Jesus wasn't going to have any of that. They went to the tomb, taking the spices that they prepared. These women have been walking with Jesus for quite a while, and it seems like they forgot what to believe. You ever have that happen? You walk with Jesus for a minute, man, for a little bit, maybe a couple of years, maybe more, and you forget what to believe. You forget how to move forward in this life. I mean, just more than a few times, Jesus had told them something just like this out of Matthew 20, 18. He says, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. All right, we saw that happen, all right? It already happened. And then they'll deliver him over to the Gentiles, to Pontius Pilate and the Romans, all right? And then they're going to beat him, they're going to mock him, and they're going to flog him, all right? And then they're going to crucify him. And he'll be raised on the third day. They knew that this was going to, they heard this saying, all right? They knew that he said this was going to happen. And now here they are. Friday, he was crucified, placed in a grave. Saturday, he was still in that grave. Sunday, he got up and got out and he has risen. All the time. Amen, right on. All right. I always wondered if he said this so many times, and they seen him do so many cool things, miracles. He, you know, healing people from the sick. He raised a few dead people, all right? And, you know, and it was crazy. Why in the world weren't they at the tomb early Sunday morning before the sun came up going, dude, it's going to happen any minute now. Watch. Is the sun almost on? Cool. Dude, put that gum down. Put that gum out of your mouth. Come on, Jeff, take off your headphones. It's going to happen any time now. All right? And just kind of sitting there. Why weren't they waiting for 10, 9, 8? Here it comes. 5. Why weren't they not saying, here, boom, here he is. Where were they? Would you have been there waiting? I like to think I would have been there waiting, but I probably wouldn't have been, right? Because it was just kind of crazy. A pastor one time challenges his church. It's the heartland of farm country, right? And basically, in the middle of it, they had this little church, and there had been this huge drought, a big old drought, man, and people were starting to suffer. Farms were starting to suffer, and they were just hurting. And the pastor said to his church, all right, man, we are going to pray for rain. Are you guys in? They got so excited. Yes, let's pray for rain. We're going to have a prayer meeting here, 4:00 this afternoon. Let's show up. We're going to pray for rain, amen? And everybody was like, yes, we're going to come and pray for rain. And they were so excited. And they all showed up, 4:00. Everyone showed up, man. They were ready to pray. The pastor got up and he looked at everybody and he said, we're calling this prayer meeting off. Calling it off. Go on home. We're not going to do it. And everybody was like, what do you mean? You people don't have enough faith to pray. They said, we're here, man. We're here to pray. He says, yeah, but I'm the only one who bought an umbrella. Come on, man. Do you really believe? All right, because we are living proof of what we believe. We just are. Look at verse 2, and they got there, all right? And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And you understand this, right? The stone was not rolled away from the tomb so Jesus can get out. You know that, right? Because he could have moved through material. He had no problem. He actually did it later on, and they're all hanging out in this room, and he comes right through a locked door. What's up? All right? The stone was not moved away so that he can get out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away so that we can look in and see that he wasn't there. Amen? So that we can look in and see that he is risen. Praise the Lord. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord. All right? And it says that these chicks are gangsters, first of all, just to go inside there. I'm afraid of dark closets, all right? And so, like, they actually did that. They went in and saw that he wasn't in there. It says, while they were perplexed about this, and that literally it means perplexed. We never use that word in a sentence. It means straight tripping, just so you know, all right? Well, they were straight tripping about this, all right? So when they went in, they were straight tripping about this. Behold, you know, and basically, here's what's crazy about this, right? They were tripping because they knew what to believe. They just didn't think it was believable. Did you hear what I just said? They were perplexed. They were straight tripping because they knew what to believe. They just didn't think it was believable. That is so us, right? That is so us, man. I mean, so many times we know what to believe. We just sometimes don't think it's believable. Knowing what to believe is not good enough. Believing and trusting and leaning into that. That's what's necessary. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, right? It took these two dazzling dudes to tell them what was really going on here. These are angels, if you don't know, man. They were just there to let people know what was up. And it says, and as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? That question hits hard. It hits hard, man. Because we all need to ask that question of ourselves. And you're like, I don't know if I do. I want to challenge you to think maybe you do. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That question hits so hard, all right? And I think we all need to ask it because, look, let me challenge you. When you pray and you're looking for answers more than you're looking for Jesus, I think we are looking for the living among the dead. You understand? Excuse me. When you read his word like a magazine and you're just picking and choosing what you want, we're looking for the living among the dead, man. When you try to kick it with other Christians and not once do you mention the name of Jesus Christ, I think you're looking for the living among the dead. When you condemn the darkness in our world and you refuse, all right, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ, you are looking for the living among the dead. When you see how dark the world is and you refuse to turn on some lights, I think we're looking for the living among the dead. Focusing on the wrong things. We're trying to look forward, and we need to look forward and not backwards. We need to look up and not just down. Then these guys said to the girls, he says, he's not here, but he's risen. Yeehaw. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise. He said, remember what he told you to believe more than a few times. Remember what he said over and over to you guys. And it says, and then they remembered his words. They remembered not just what he told them, but that they remembered they already believed that that was supposed to happen. They just needed to believe again. And so many times I talk to some of you and other men and women of God, and they're just looking, man, you know, they're like, I haven't heard anything from God in a long time. I remember when God, when I first came home, all this stuff, I started kind of like, I knew some things, man, but I have not heard God say anything. And then they're talking to other Christians, man, and they're not seeing, you know, they're hearing other Christians say, yeah, man, God told me this and God told me that. And they're like, man, I don't know what I did wrong because I'm not hearing anything from God. And I would challenge people when they tell me that, don't judge your walk with God on other people's lives. You, what did he tell you last? All right. Remember what he said last. You say, I haven't heard from God for 2 years. Well, what did he say then? Remember what he told you last. Remember, man, again, I tell you, God tells you all the time, remember. Too many times, man, we're flipping through the pages of Scripture. I need something new. And God's saying, you haven't done this yet, bro. We're still right here. We're still working through this. Slow down and let me speak to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They couldn't wait to act on their belief. They haven't even seen Jesus yet. They will in a little bit. He'll reveal himself to these women before anybody else, to Mary Magdalene. But they could not wait to act on their belief. And they blasted all the way back to see the boys, man, and some of the other girls and men and women that were with them, all right? And now it was Mary Magdalene, all right? She was one, this woman that he had raised, man, just cast demons out of and just kind of pulled her out of the craziness of life. And Joanna, all right, she was kind of her husband worked for Herod in his, you know, courts and kind of a wicked place to be, man, but she was following Jesus. And there was, you know, Mary, the mother of James, other women with them. They could not wait to get back and tell the apostles these things. But when they got there, check this out, verse 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. They didn't believe them. These women must have been so excited to go and tell the boys, man, hey, this look at here, he's up. I mean, have you ever had some really good news that Christ shares with you, or just even knowing Jesus, and you can't wait to tell people, and they're like, yeah. I'll tell them anyways. And I'll tell them again. And then I'll tell them again. And then maybe one more time. Why didn't his boys believe him? These were his guys. These are the ones he told to believe. More than anything, he told them to believe, and they didn't believe anymore. They stopped believing him, and so they didn't believe the girls' testimony about him. These were his boys. These were his top dudes, his number one guys. All right, these were his apostles. You and I were counting on those guys to believe before we even got here, all right? We were hoping and counting that these guys would believe this story so that we can get this story here today. We needed to believe. We needed them to believe so that we could share this news, man. Let me ask you, who needs you to believe right now? Who needs you to believe right this minute? You've got some people in your life, all right? You have some individuals right now in your life that need you to believe. Who right now is counting, and they might not even know it, counting on your trust? Who is counting on your faith right this very moment? Whose story needs to join your story as your story is apprehended by his story? Whose story right now, man, needs to know that you believe this with everything about you? Whose world needs to be changed because your world has been changed by him? Here's what I know, man. If we don't trust what we believe, then how will anyone else believe what we believe? All right, how will anyone else believe this if we don't trust what we believe? This isn't about just coming to church, man. This is about living the life, a life of proof of what I believe, man. This is like my prayers aren't just, I don't just pray to get answers. I pray to see Jesus. I pray so I can be with Jesus, all right? I don't just pick and choose and read out of the Word. I get underneath the Word, submit to the Word of God, and live my life, all right? I read and I live. I read and I live. That's what he's looking for. That's what this is. That's believing. That's trusting what you believe, right? When you are, whether you're with other Christians or with other people, you are mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, all right? When you recognize the darkness in the world, you ain't just cursing the darkness. You're flipping light switches everywhere you go, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If we don't trust what we believe, then how will anyone else believe what we believe? But something clicked with Peter as they told him this news. It says in verse 12, but Peter, right, he like, wait a second. He ran to the tomb. In the Gospel of John, it says that him and John ran to the tomb and John beat him. All right, John got there faster. All right, Peter was slow. Right? He kept tying his shoes the whole way there. All right. See, the last, Peter went there. He ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what he saw. See, the last thing Peter did was deny Jesus. He had just spent the last 3 days, all right, thinking about that. And now he had a chance to believe again. He got caught up, all right, in the day-to-day, just in those 3 days. And I think sometimes we have a hard time living like we believe because we get caught up in the day-to-day. It's natural. We get caught. There's things happening in every one of our lives. But it's crazy because Jesus called us to live this life day-to-day. This is an everyday, everywhere life, amen? I gotta challenge you to something, man. This might hit a little hard for you, but you know what? Just showing up to church every once in a while to try to believe again, that ain't good enough. I mean, if you're here to believe again because the last time you believed didn't stick, all right? What do you think is gonna make this time any different? Come on, man, I know this is hitting hard, but man, you could take it. I can't. I have to think like this all the time, man. You see, too often, for many, I'm not saying this about every one of you here, man. Maybe somebody's watching right now and this is more helpful to them than anything. For many, coming to a church service is like putting ointment, like taking some ointment and putting it on a rash that you keep scratching and picking. Instead of looking for a cure, some people are just trying to find something to calm the symptom. That's not enough. Belief in Christ, trust in Christ, faith in Christ has to be more than a therapeutic experience. If you believe it, if you trust that Christ Jesus was killed on a cross, killed your sin, killed my sin, and was buried in a tomb, all right, and 3 days rose again from that tomb, if you trust that gospel and have made him Lord of your life, you must live out that belief in a life of total trust, a walking around everyday life of total trust, amen? Amen. Because he is risen, all amen, all the time, every day. Every minute, every second. So what I want you to do, man, is I want you to challenge that belief. Challenge your belief. I want you, we're good at challenging other people. I don't even know about you, bro. You know what I mean? Good luck. You know what I mean? I ain't here to challenge somebody else's belief. I'm here to challenge my own and challenge you to challenge your own. And how am I going to do that? I got a little verse, one verse. You would do really well to write this address down and look at it a little bit later. All right, and the address is simply this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And it says this, and I challenge myself to this quite often, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Examine that last thing you said. Examine this life that you're living. Examine, all right, how you're moving about into the world, how you're approaching Jesus. Am I yours? Am I all yours? Examine yourselves, man, to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So I want you to challenge your belief. Take this one little verse with you, man, and start to pray through it. Don't condemn yourself with this verse, like, oh, man, I'm scum, I'm no good. You know, this is not what this is about. This is about lifting you out from wherever you are and getting you closer to the living God who loved you and gave himself for you. Amen. And put it to the test. Because I'll challenge you with this last little line right here. If you have decided to make a change in your life and no action has been taken, then nothing really has been decided, has it? We're living proof of what we believe. Amen. Later on, these women would see Jesus and they would recognize him as Jesus. I believe that Mary saw Jesus later on because she wanted to see Jesus. Her heart was broken without him. What about you? Amen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Woo! Praise the Lord.